taking his field glasses from the case, he stood on the top of the rock and began to search the horizon. Suddenly, he called out, "Look! Mother Mina, look! Look!" I sprang up and stood beside him on the rock. He handed me his glasses and pointed. The snow was now falling more heavily and swirled about fiercely, for a high wind was beginning to blow. However, there were times when there were pauses between the snow flurries, and I could see a long way round. From the height where we were, it was possible to see a great distance, and far off, beyond the white waste of snow, I could see the river lying like a black ribbon in kinks and curls as it wound its way. Straight in front of us, and not far off, in fact so near that I wondered we had not noticed before, came a group of mounted men hurrying along. In the midst of them was a cart, a long lighter wagon, which swept from side to side, like a dog's tail wagging, with each stern inequality of the road. Outlined against the snow as they were, I could see from the men's clothes that they were peasants or gypsies of some kind. On the cart was a great square chest. My heart leaped as I saw it, for I felt that the end was coming. The evening was now drawing close, and well I knew that at sunset the thing which was till then imprisoned there would take new freedom, and could in any of many forms elude pursuit. In fear I turned to the professor. To my consternation, however, he was not there. An instant later I saw him below me. Round the rock he had drawn a circle, such as we had found shelter in last night. When he had completed it, he stood beside me, saying, "At least you shall be safe here from him." He took the glasses from me, and at the next lull of the snow, swept the whole space below us. "See," he said, "they come quickly. They are flogging the horses and galloping as hard as they can." He paused, and went on in a hollow voice, "They are racing for the sunset. We may be too late. God's will be done." Down came another blinding rush of driving snow, and the whole landscape was blotted out. It soon passed, however, and once more his glasses were fixed on the plain. Then came a sudden cry. "Look! Look! Look! See, two horsemen follow fast, coming up from the south. It must be Quincy and John. Take the glass. Look before the snow blots it all out." I took it and looked. The two men might be Dr. Seward and Mr. Morris. I knew that at all events that neither of them was Jonathan.